The master plan, it's really hard to see. We included this. It's really, like Cody said, the plan development, it's not real common. It's fairly, I don't know if they've done one recently in Taney County, but we've done a lot of these in, like, City of Branson. We did a plan development up in Ozark as well recently. They're very common. It's when you have a lot of mixed-use zoning on a property. It's basically an overlay to the ag district, so it's keeping ag components there, as Cody mentioned as well. It's very common. It gives a little bit more. There's a lot of information that's required from the applicant as well, basically providing more details. So we've gone through all those as well. If you jump to the next slide, Cody. As far as changes in the property from what the old CUP request was, as if you remember, the land use intensity, they were previously going to provide a public restaurant and cafe, public trails, RV sites, which would have been public with large RVs, and an event center for larger events. Well, obviously, this was problematic in the request previously, as you guys would have heard from many of the neighbors. So they've switched it to the PUD, the planned unit development approach, which includes guest only, shared kitchen and fellowship space instead of the large event space. That is really a key. That's for registered guests and staff only. The private trails, guest and staff only. There's no public access or any type of through traffic for those trails. Limited RV stays for resort retreat guests. They're restricted to registered retreat guests only. That is private access, so they have to have an invitation to attend. And then there's no event center either. In the place of the event center, there's organic gardens and orchard, regenerative farming practices as well, stuff that helps assist the guests with the wellness retreat portion of it. In summary, there's no walk-in public access, limited traffic. You know, there's a gated structure, so people have to have a reason to be there. Small-scale, quiet retreat for guests only, and then enforceable rules and safety measures as well. Go ahead. Next slide, Cody. As you'll see here, there's representative from the conservation area as well. This is part of this property. A large portion of the property is under a conservatory, so it has limited uses. And so we've received approval on the uses that are being presented. So that's what these letters are showing. They've been part of the process here. I think you'll probably hear from the NRC as well tonight. Cody, go ahead and next slide. As far as utilities, we've been working with the Village of Bull Creek. So we've been working with the review engineer, which is Toth Engineering. We also have received a letter, like an intent letter, that they will serve this development. As hopefully this gets approved and goes through the process, we'll work with getting the design of the sewer permitted through DNR as well. We will be connected. There are three units that are basically further into the development that will be hooked into an existing septic system for the house as well. It's made to accommodate that, and we'll work with Scott Sterrett on the health department side to make sure that's permitted properly. But everything else, including the fellowship hall, will be tied into the Village of Bull Creek central sewer. We had to do a low-pressure extension as well as a lift station because of the up and down to tie into the existing gravity sewer. We also had to get an easement because there was a little bit of a gap. It was like less than 10 feet of a gap to get into the manhole in order to be able to connect to the Village of Bull Creek sewer. So we worked with the neighbor of that property where that easement is to be able to tie into that manhole, and that easement has been recorded with Taney County as well too. So that's all in preparation of getting approval from DNR to be able to connect and put that line in once we receive the permit. As far as any other items here, it'll be engineered for DNR requirements as well as meet the Taney County and Village of Bull Creek requirements as well. And we already have Great River's doing the design. Toth is reviewing it on behalf of the Village of Bull Creek. So next slide, Cody. As far as water, this will be connected to Public Water Supply District Number 3. They're right there off of Reinhardt Road. We've been working with Ed Young on the permitting side as well. We actually have submitted drawings to DNR. They're currently under review. We've received a couple comments which have already been addressed, and really the permit from DNR is pending probably here this week would be my guess, because we've addressed their comments. Now they just need to go back and make sure that they're good with our responses. It'll have access for, you know, really a key of it is having a fire hydrant nearby too. So there will be a fire hydrant that's installed. It's an 8-inch main extension, and we're putting in, because it's a main, we have to put it in per Taney County Public Water Supply District Number 3 requirements, which requires C900 pipe, which is very expensive pipe. It's a thicker wall, but it's a much more reliable pipe that is less sensitive to pipe rupture, and all of PWSD Number 3 requirements now forces the developer to put in C900 pipe, and that's per both their requirements as well as DNR requirements. Cody, next slide, please. As far as the health department, I know Justin has initiated a discussion with the health department, and they're prepared to move forward with anything the health department requires as part of the PUD approval process. They were waiting to submit their final plans until they receive approval of the PUD, because that's really the next step, and they've been in discussion with Cody about that as well. Next slide, Cody. As far as the trails, the blue line is basically the 400-foot setback from the property. So anything outside of that is basically a walking and biking trail, as you'll see per the color legend down there below. The 200-foot setback is the green line on your screen. And the motorized trails are all included in the area that's within the blue limits, the 400-foot setback. And one key of this is these are electric vehicles only, so they make no noise. Similar to, like, if you've been down to Big Cedar, there's go-karts down there, for instance. They're electric go-karts because they don't want to disturb the guests. And so that was a big concession that we made based on getting input from the neighbors about the noise that UTVs make. And that was not the intent of the developer as far as impacting, you know, the noise concerns. So they had no issues with going to electric UTVs or electric golf carts in order to appease the neighbors. There's also there's not many trails up on the north side. Actually, there's really none on the north side, and that's where the nearest subdivision is, which is Summerbrook. And so that's where we met with the neighbors. We actually had the open house at the fire station at Western Taney's headquarters there, off of Jefferson Road. So that was well attended as well. Cody went there too to kind of see some of the displays that we had put on. Next slide, Cody. We also met with Jack because that was a concern about ingress and egress. There's currently an unpermitted driveway that was put before my client purchased the property. It was just a gravel driveway. It's in a terrible spot. It's at the bottom of the hill, so sight distance is not good. So we met with Jack out there. The existing driveway is actually kind of just below the crest of the hill and is not in a good spot either because it creates a blind spot. And so with that, we basically went to the crest of the hill, and that's where you'll see the new entrance here. And it will be a concrete within the right-of-way, so we're not worried about gravel or anything like that. And then they're going to do chip and seal basically back to the gate to keep dust down, because obviously gravel dusts quite a bit. And so they worked with the conservation entity as well to make sure that this was going to be accepted, because it is in kind of the area that's identified for the conservation easement. So that was not an issue there. And it will be, it's designed to handle RVs as well as semis. So it's got adequate sight distance as well as turning movements. That's what you'll see, that kind of that pathway on there is the typical movement for a semi. If there is a semi that comes in there, we'll have to kind of turn We'll have to have flaggers up there to make sure that there's people on both sides of the road to control the semis getting in there, so that way there's not some vehicle that's coming up as we're trying to oversteer into that lane. That's very typical. But really, once construction is done, there should not be any semis, because there's really no need. It's just basically getting those cabins out there, which are already out there now. And so it's kind of a moot point at this point. But as far as RVs, they can make the full move without having to get into the opposite lane. Next slide, Cody.
Is there a contemplated pullover lane to enter from, an additional?
There's a little bit of storage. Like, I think that's what you're asking as far as when you get pulled in.
No, before you pull into the entrance on the main road. Like,
oh, no, we're not doing any widening on it. No, good question. Yep. And really, it's really limited use. I mean, we're talking a small amount of RVs anyway. It's not a big RV site. I believe it's 24 RV sites. So, and most of those are not going to be fully occupied. Honestly, it's not even – they're going to prohibit – RV booking, so you can't even book there in the winter when the roads will be, you know, potentially slick out. So they're from basically the 1st of December through February 28th, they're not going to have any RVs going out to that site. That was another concern that was brought up by the neighbors. We did a traffic study on this, as far as trying to, since there is a lot of mixed use out there, as far as, you know, what we're intending with the glamping and that residential house, the fellowship hall. We basically came up with using the Institute of Traffic Engineers, we used all their land use that best fits this, came up with approximately 254 trips per day. And in comparison, you know, if we were to develop like a similar, like a subdivision, like an 80-lot subdivision, a typical house is going to generate 10 trips per day based on land use, so that would be 800 trips. So it really is a very low impact. I mean, you could do an 80-lot subdivision, half-acre lots, and it would take up 40 acres. We have 250 acres, and we're generating 254 trips. So that's roughly like a third of what a typical 40-acre subdivision would generate. So it is very, very much a limited impact on the existing infrastructure. Next slide. We've been working with Western Taney, with Jim Ferguson. You'll see that we've gotten approval from Western Taney as well. That's been provided to Cody. The main items here is just, you know, there's no smoking anywhere on the property. That's obviously a big thing. Using, you know, clean untreated firewood only, no accelerants, trash, or open ground fires. Fires must be small, attended, and fully extinguished. These are on the campsites, obviously. And then no fires during, you know, any type of burn bans, heavy wind days, that type of thing. Just really common sense stuff. We were working with the fire department on what their stipulations were, as well as, you know, we have access to public water with a fire hydrant and water supply out there as well. So if there ever is anything, we've got backup plans, and there'll be, you know, localized fire extinguishers at each of the buildings too. But this plan has been approved by Western Taney County. And like I said, it's been provided to Cody as well. Next slide, Cody. These are just kind of the screenshots of the approval, the fire permits as well, for the fellowship hall too, as part of that. Next slide. So really, how is this different, you know, from a typical vacation rental, which we all love to hear about, take new vacation rental developments? We're not doing any nightly or short-term stays. There's not a frequent guest turnover. There's no entertainment, parties, and convenience. There's no self-directed access with many cars coming in and out of this development. You know, it's a wellness retreat. You're not going to have people leaving. That's part of the reason why they're doing the fellowship hall with the you know, providing food as well for the guests that are on site, so they're not having to leave the site. Minimal on-site or oversight with a typical vacation rental. This is completely different. Like I said, Justin and his family will be living on the property.